Hi, this is Steve Chandler. Imagine a life in which you are welcoming every circumstance. There are times in people's lives when they're that way, when they're in a good enough mood, when they're higher than a kite, when things are breaking their way, and then whatever circumstance appears on the news, coming over the phone, they have a funny way of welcoming it. Say, well, tell me about it. Come on, we can deal with it. Just put all your cards on the table. Lay it out for me. I'm happy to hear about this because I'm in the frame of mind that welcomes every circumstance. Now, what I would like to explore is the possibility that I can live that way. That can be who I am and what I do from the minute I wake up till the time I go to bed at night. So the first thing I want to look at here in welcoming every circumstance is the difference between perception and circumstance. There's a huge difference. Now, the main point about this difference is that perception is what drives human behavior. We behave and we act based on how we perceive things, not based on how things are. Let me give you an example of that. Let's say you are afraid of snakes. You don't like snakes. You think snakes are creepy. You have a funny feeling they're dangerous to you, and you don't care for them at all. You don't want one in your home. And you're sitting in your home, and you notice a snake has entered your home. Now look at how you behave. Look at your actions. Look at your thoughts. There is panic. There is scramble. There is exiting the home. There is crawling out the window. There is calling 911, calling animal control, yelling, heart pounding. There's all kinds of behavior here that we could put on videotape and we could show this is one definite way of behaving when a snake enters someone's home. Now that's probably the most common way. Now imagine that you are a biologist and you have specialized in snakes. That's what you most enjoy working with. That's your specialty. That's your true love. You've studied them. You've worked with them in the laboratory. You've been on farms. And now you're sitting at home and you notice a snake has entered your home. And because you know about snakes, you can see that this snake is perfectly harmless. This is one of those harmless kinds of snakes. You can identify it right away. Now, when you see the snake, you actually light up. You actually think, oh my goodness, take a look at that. What a beautiful specimen. And because you know about snakes, you can get some kind of food. You know what they love. You lure it over to a little cage you keep for just this kind of occasion. And now the snake comes toward you, and you put a little food out there, and the snake comes toward it, and you gather the snake up in your hands, and you hold it lovingly, and you admire it, and you say, boy, what a beautiful specimen. What a sweet little boy this is. And then you take the snake and hold it for a while, feel its warmth, feel its nice, smooth skin, admiring it, and now you place it in the cage, you clasp the door, and you're going to rescue it back outside where it belongs after looking at it for a while and enjoying the entire experience. You might even call a colleague and say, you'll never guess what just came into my house. Now look at those two different ways of responding to a snake. So different. The truth is, the circumstance here was snake enters house. That's the circumstance. We in our lives have all these circumstances, like recession happens, job loss, all these circumstances, divorce, bad weather, all kinds of circumstances occur, good, bad. But what really drives how we act and feel are not the circumstances, but rather our perception of them. Because the first person who saw the snake panicked. Ran around, called 911, yelled, crawled out a window. And so that was based on their perception. The perception was, snakes are creepy, they're dangerous, they're a threat to me, I don't like them, I can't even be in the same room with them. That's my perception of snake. Now the second person, the biologist, the perception was, oh, look at here, how nice, how sweet, what a specimen. And the behavior was different. The thoughts were different. The feelings were warm, the behavior was welcoming, And there was actually a nice little gentle adventure that took place based on a different perception. Same reality, same circumstance, different perception. The perception you have of anything is always what drives your feelings and your actions and your thoughts. Now let's look again at another example. The stadium is packed with people. Half the people in the stadium are cheering for one of the teams. Let's say it's one of the interstate rivalries. It's Michigan versus Michigan State. So half the stadium is cheering for Michigan State. Go Spartans. The other half of the stadium is cheering for Michigan. Go Wolverines. Now, at the end of the game, we see that one side won. Let's say Michigan State wins. Half the stadium is cheering and hugging and celebrating and laughing and clapping each other on the back. The other half of the stadium, they look downhearted. They say, wait till next year. They're in a bad mood. Notice, the circumstance was identical. The same game was played on that field. It was an identical circumstance, yet half the people, because of their perception of it's good when we win, it's exciting when we win, it's fun when we win, I'm happy when we win, that perception is causing them to be happy and jump around and have fun. The perception in the minds of the other people is, oh no, we lost, we haven't built up enough yet, we're still not there, this is bad, we don't have the right players, we don't have the right coach. Whatever I think, that's my perception causing my behavior. Half the people leave the stadium excited, upbeat, walking quickly, laughing. The other half of the people leave the stadium downhearted, shuffling along, walking slowly. Perception is what creates behavior. What drives it? Behavior always flows from perception. Now, the good news here is I can change perception. In other words, I'm in charge of my perceptions. Circumstance has nothing to do with any of this. Because it's my perception that drives my behavior, drives my feelings, drives my thinking, then I want to take a look at what my perceptions are. Let's say I'm feeling down. Let's say the worldwide recession has put me in a bad mood. At least my mind thinks that. At least we believe that circumstance causes feelings. I have people tell me all the time that I'm coaching, I'm down because I'm going through a divorce right now. I'm down because of the global economy. I'm down because my daughter is involved with this. I'm down because my business has gone in this direction. Well, they're mistaken. They have made a mistake. They have misread how the brain works when they say that. Because if they were being honest with me and describing the reality of it, they would say, I'm down because I'm nurturing a perception that something is bad and harmful to me and bad news. We bring ourselves down when we label something as bad, and we bring ourselves up when we label something as good. And if we could really get to the core of that and really see that it's within our power to switch perceptions, then that would be our first job of the day, is to take a look through my body, through my day, through my system. Where am I feeling down? Where am I feeling bad, discouraged, upset, disappointed? And I'm going to switch those perceptions so I can have a great day. I don't want to hang on to that because, number one, it's not true. I'm actually fooling myself. And why would I do this? It really is the definition of insanity to fool myself and trick myself into feeling bad, and by feeling bad, now not performing very well, not being very effective, not solving problems, not really creating solutions, but just kind of down and discouraged and negative, pessimistic, short with people, not returning their calls, and creating a real mess around myself based on not even understanding that it's my perception of something that has put me in this jam. It's not the thing itself. It never can be. Only perceptions drive behavior. If we look at the two people with the snake in the room, it wasn't the snake that caused the behavior. It was the perception of the snake in each case. So let's say I sit down and I tell the person I'm talking to that the worldwide recession has brought me down and it's left me a little discouraged and I don't know what to do and I'm confused and I'm upset and I'm worried. I have a lot of fear and I don't know where to turn next and my job's in jeopardy or my profession isn't respected like it used to be. These are my perceptions. These are only perceptions. They have to be. That's all they can be. Now the question becomes, can I switch these perceptions? How do I want to feel is really what I should be asking myself. How would I like to feel? And another thing I want to notice is, when I'm feeling upbeat, when I'm feeling excited and happy and reaching out to people, that's when things happen. That's when I create the relationships that lead to better jobs, better business. Everything I really want in life happens when I'm happy. If people could get that, they would then look at, how do I switch perceptions? Because my perception is killing me here, not the recession. So let's take the recession. Oh, it's a bad thing. These are bad times. That's very bad. I wish it wasn't so bad out there. Now, bad is a choice. I have chosen some language to apply to something, and I am now going to believe that's the truth about it. But it's just language. That's all I've got, are these words to think with. So what if I were willing to switch perceptions? And by the way, that's one of the reasons coaching works so well when people coach people, is that they help the client, the coaches do, switch perceptions so the client is now upbeat, uplifted, feeling strength, feeling resources, feeling innovative thinking, and now really going out and getting things done because the coach has offered an alternative perception that the client actually grabbed and is now using. So I want to replace this perception if I want to do well. And so I might play around with the possibility that this recession is going to be good for me. And I'm going to start using the word good. What's good about this? Where am I looking as far as saving? Where am I looking as far as being more organized, being more truthful, being less in debt, less dependent on future earnings, and more earning today? All these little subtleties of how to be a more mature, responsible, strong, happy, peaceful person with a simple life. This is good. This helps. This is what I wanted all along. See, a lot of people think when things are going, quote, good, or when there's a boom or there's access to a lot of credit, that they can acquire a lot of things and they can get a second home and set up some kind of really great retirement for themselves. And somehow they will buy their way or accumulate their way to some kind of peaceful life in the future. What they don't see is that's what's missing is the peaceful life now, the simple life now, the life of authenticity and integrity now. Now, the great thing about a recession or any kind of thing out there that starts to challenge complacency, anything that challenges complacency, the good thing about it is I rise up like a kite rises against the wind. If there's no wind, the kite can't fly. If there's no challenge to me, I cannot become stronger. I cannot grow. If there's no weight to lift, the arm cannot grow muscle. So this thing I'm calling a recession, and I'm labeling as bad, I can now, if I choose to, because we can choose our perceptions, I can choose to label it good, in fact, even great. I'm learning things about myself. I'm finding out how to become more resourceful. I'm doing less frivolous things. I'm not blind anymore. I'm not spending without thinking. I'm not unconscious to things anymore. I'm learning about economics. I mean, we have a whole nation right now that forgot to learn about economics. They were so giddy with abundance for so long. They forgot. They didn't even look at it. They thought, well, that's for other people. That's for politicians. They'll take care of us. And look at what came crashing down. But whenever something comes crashing down, something else starts building up. And that's where I want my mind to go. What's good about this? What's great about this? What strengthens me? What can make me better because of this. Now, by doing that, I have now switched perceptions. So my perception is now, this is a good challenge for me. These are good times. This is my wake-up call. This is where I get my true strength. This is where I find out what I'm made of. Who would not want to find out what they're made of? Who would not want that? This is great. That's my new perception. And that perception, which I've created, is going to be what guides me and what I turn to throughout the day to maintain my energy, my happiness, all of the creative, innovative ways I think when I'm in a good mood and good spirits. Good spirits come from upbeat perceptions, and downbeat, low, dreary, worried, fearful perceptions cause me to be in bad mood, cause me to not try very hard, cause me to blame other people for things, and that makes things worse. Perceptions drive behavior, perceptions drive feelings, perceptions drive thought patterns, either toward the very, very creative or back down to the self-pitying and destructive thought patterns. Self-destructive thought patterns come from low, fearful perceptions. And I can switch perceptions anytime I want. That's the ultimate in creativity. That's every human being's basic point of choice in the mind about everything, and they forget it. They miss it. They walk around with their head hung low, and they're only fooling themselves. They're only fooling themselves.